east wind. That means it's a... you ever been in a wind that's uncomfortable? Hot. And coming down on you like that? And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself, hey, there it is again, to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Yeah, Johnny?
Just something interesting I've noticed before here, because I noticed it says actually that Jonah built a booth. Mm-hmm. Apparently had some shade. So I guess any idea how that could be true, and yet this gourd comes up and it's better apparently, but
well, it was probably just a makeshift thing, so it probably wasn't very solid or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's implied in the text. But Jonah's a bit dramatic again. It's better for me to die than to live. But God's about to make his point, so let's continue. Verse 9, read that with me. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Now tell me that don't sound like something that a little kid would say.
How was it, Jonah?
Doest thou well? I do well to be angry, even unto death. That's what he's saying. You know, Jonah is a child of God. Amen?
Yeah.
And God's children act like children. That's why I think John in 1 John, you read that yesterday if you're following along in our Bible reading calendar. And he numerous times calls them little children. He's not talking to the, you know, little kids. He's talking to the believers our age and every age. We're all little children. And so just keep that in mind as you're seeing Jonah act kind of silly. But three times Jonah says, basically, I'd rather just die. Three different times. Now, what's amazing about this, though, is that he's talking to God. And, the thing is, that's how silly we are. We pray, and we don't have God standing there tangibly in front of us. So it's hard for us to imagine to hear the voice of God the way Jonah is. But I've told people, they'll say, the millennium just seems so outrageous. It's going to be so weird. It'll be that way for a few months. And then you'll be like, this is normal. Think of the changes that have happened in your life, and you're thinking, I'm never going to get used to this. What did you do? You got used to it. I mean, it's just no matter what it is. And so, yeah, the millennium's got some wild stuff going on there when we read about it. So prophets are talking to the Lord and hearing him talk to them. And after a while, they just seem to get kind of take it for granted. It's kind of, they get used to it. Who had their hand up over here? Mary?
No, I was just thinking about babies when they're born into the world. They're like coming from the womb. And, you know, think how weird that is when they just...
I remember mine when, like it's yesterday. That is these babies over here. I remember each one of them are that little, you know. And most of the time they look over at me and then go like, Mommy. But they took some real getting used to for some of them once they come out. But yeah, that's an example. But God will now present his mercy rule. Watch this, verse 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. We talked about the farmers and how there's more atheist farmers than ever before. Imagine, okay, they work the ground, they plant the seed, they do that, all that, but without God it wouldn't grow. He made it from the very scratch. He made everything it does. And then he blesses it all the every year. And to get to where you just take that for granted, and it's all just natural processes. Well, what happens a lot of times is something like the dirt bowl. How many of you ever studied that or read about it or anything? I mean, it was a catastrophe. And Dust Bowl. I called it Dirt Bowl. Dirt Bowl. Yeah. Yeah, that used to be called the Dirt Bowl before the Mandela Effect. But the Dust Bowl. And then we were talking about the Irish. Who was it? Brian was talking about how, you know, potatoes have everything you need, and especially if you can put a little butter and a little dash of salt and everything. And I said, yeah, that's how the Irish, until they had the Great Potato Famine. And read about that. And it was just mind-boggling. You couldn't understand. They'd done everything the same way. What changed? Well, it does look like God was bringing some judgment in that time. So Jonah has more pity for a plant he didn't even grow than he does on an entire city of souls. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons? Now, that's 120,000. Just a little math lesson here. A score means you times 20. 60 is 6 times 20, which equals 120. Therefore, 60,000 is 120 thousands, or 120 thousands, how we write it. Kids didn't know you're going to learn some math tonight, did you? That's a lot of, says 120,000 persons. Now, what about these persons? These 120,000, that's just part of the population of Nineveh. And he's described as that can't discern between their right hand and their left hand. Now, we have one here for sure that we could use as an illustration, little Noah there. Hey, Noah. Noah, show me your right hand. Yeah, your other right. Yeah. So we're talking about infants or really young toddlers and kids develop at different levels and ages. There's also the mentally disabled, etc., who cannot discern between their right hand and their... Here's that Old Testament mean old God again, considering all these innocents in his decision. God is merciful. I think over and over we see that, and we can never get... Hopefully you never get used to that. God's mercy. His long-suffering is due to the innocent. And that includes the animals in this text. Look at verse 11, how it ends. And also much cattle. God's have mercy on Nineveh because of all the innocent little children there. And he appeals to Jonah's sense of humanity, and he includes the animals. And that's something else, isn't it? God despises animal abusers as much as he does child abusers. I think he despises the child abuser a little more. He says they should have a millstone tied around their neck and cast to the sea. But Proverbs 12:10 says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. You know, they say most serial killers abuse animals before they kill people. There's a connection. Well, there's a lot of that going on among scientists. Yeah. Fauci.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And little, what are they, hound dogs that he was abusing? So this is also the basis upon which we believe children that die go to heaven. And we've only had one couple over the years got mad at us for believing this. But here's what you need to understand. Unbelievers go to hell for sins. You're born with a sinful nature, but you go to hell for your rejection of the opportunity to have those sins forgiven. Well, a baby can't consciously sin. Very early age, babies will lie to mommy or daddy, and they'll give the signal that they need something when they don't really need it. And all they're doing is they want attention. See, that's dishonesty. They learn it very young. No one has to teach them that. And I don't want to embarrass them, but they're here, so I'll go ahead and do it. But, you know, Matt and Lori first started having babies. I remember having a conversation with Matt, And he was telling me how it's just amazing how these cute little innocent babies, and there's no time at all, and they're showing their sinful nature. It's there. But let's look at what Jesus says over in John. Who's got John 8? Is that Jessica? John chapter 8. We're going to close just with a few little Bible readings here. John chapter 8, verses 23 and 24. I think that's a typo.
And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins.
So you need to believe the gospel, but the reason is so that the blood that he shed on the cross will then pay for your sins, because he says, if you believe on me, then your sins will be forgiven. So there are a lot of people running around today saying that God, you're not being saved from your sins, you're being saved from unbelief. And we've got it right on the wall for anyone who wants to read it right there. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Paul said, this is the gospel. And then he says how that Christ died for our what?
Sins.
Not our unbelief. It's our unbelief that keeps us in our sins. But it's our sins that have separated us from God. But you must willfully transgress the law in order to be accountable for sin. That's why we're reading 1 John 3:4-5. Brian?
1 John 3:4-5. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. For ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin.
So there it is again. What is sin? It's the transgression also of the law. How many have been told that sin means to miss the mark? It's false. You won't find that in the Bible. What you find that in is those corrupt lexicons where they get their definitions from garbage heaps over in Egypt. We believe this book is infallible. You get your definitions for the words in this book from this book. What does this verse say sin is? Does it say it's missing the mark? It does not. It says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So how many of you are going to hold on to that myth that sin means to miss the mark? Because that's all it is. It's a myth. Sin is to transgress the law, and you know what you're doing when you do it. You don't, oops. Children don't understand the law and can't be held accountable. Where's that? Look at Romans 4. Who's got that? Romans 4, Johnny, verses 14 and 15.
For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression.
What? Read that again. For where what?
Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression.
Isn't that something? So, to a little child or a mentally handicapped person, they can't understand, they don't know the law. And God in his mercy says he doesn't hold people accountable for something they can't be accountable for. Now, King David clearly understood this. Go to 2 Samuel 12. Who's got that one, Mary? This is in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 12, 21-23. Now, just to give you the background before she reads it, this is where David has committed adultery, and his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. He also had her husband murdered. And God doesn't destroy David, but he tells David through Nathan, the prophet, that the baby is not going to live, that was conceived from that adulterous relationship. And that's the context now in 2 Samuel 12. Go ahead and read that now.
Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me.
David didn't say, Well, I hope he's in heaven and I get to see him again. He didn't say that. He says, I shall go to him. David's pretty sure of his own salvation there too, ain't he? But he shall not return to me. And so there's no other basis for David to believe that other than the fact that what we're studying about sin and accountability. Now, there's no age of accountability. How many of you heard that? Show me in the Bible where it says what age kids become accountable. It's not in there. Every child develops, and there's actually children, or like Down's children and other mentally disabled children who maybe 10, 12, 14 years old before they actually then... I've known people who had a Down's child. It was about 12 years old, and she came to her mommy in tears and said, I want to be saved. And her mom said, Why? Because I'm a sinner. You know it. I know it. I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. And so she sat down and explained it, and the little girl, without even being told to, said, I believe that. Am I saved? She said, Yes, you are. Can we pray? Yes, you can pray. Dear God, thank you for saving me. You know, it's just she understood it better than a lot of adults. Yeah, that's right. Amen. So the child isn't saved in this condition. They're innocent. That's another thing to understand. And of the kingdom. Who's got Matthew 19, 13 to 14? Matthew's got Matthew 19, verses 13 to 14.
Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put forth his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven.
So they're of the kingdom. It doesn't mean they're born again, because they haven't been regenerated. They're still not accountable, but they're of the kingdom. And so that's all come back to then. The fact that children were allowed into the promised land. Remember that? When they sinned and God said, You're not going into the promised land, this whole generation. But he accepted the children. EX, accepted. Deuteronomy 1:39, Moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, didn't know their right hand from their left. They shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. And that explains God's final statement that we read to close out Jonah. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? I just love that. All right, so that closes our study there, Jonah. Next week, we're going to start in 1 Thessalonians. And if we're still here, amen. Stand if you can, and we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me. All right, all three verses.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the you will join me. Christ's blood paid for our sin, but you must be born again. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Because he first loved us. Amen.
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 Come, ye thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. God, our Maker, for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto his praise to yield. Wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow prone. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come, and shall take his harvest home. From his field shall in that day all offenses purge away. Give his angels charge at last, in the fire the tares to cast. But the fruitful ears to store in his garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy Father.